You are listening to Destination Church Belfast weekly podcast. You can find us at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. Happy listening.
Did you enjoy worship? Maybe enjoy is not the right word, but he came and I said to Andrew, it's like when he's there, just, you know, just certain things get cleaned off and just get a wee understanding on one thing. And it's just so good that he comes, isn't it? And I think what I said to Andrew, what hit me is this is what we want to build and what we've always felt that we're called to build, which is a place where people come in and go, well, I'm here at church. And then they meet him. And then they go, right enough, that's what church is meant to be about. So this is the journey that we're on, and we hope that you'll stay with us on that journey. But we want him to be enthroned on the praises of his people, as it said in the Psalms, that he comes, we encounter him, talk with him, and our lives are changed and transformed. Yes and amen? Okay, so I'm going to shorten down my recap today because I have started at least 10 minutes late. So you'll maybe be glad to hear that. I also want to acknowledge that today is the first Sunday in Advent. For those of you who have your trees up, I'm not going to comment whether we do or not. We do. The car parks at the shops are now bung. Trees are going up. Lights are on. And we begin our family traditions, don't we? And I had a moment yesterday where we were all standing around the tree. And I was going to say, I was trying to say something profound. And Anna went, I'm going back to Netflix. And I was like, I'm going back on my switch. And Claire was like, coffee, anyone? And I thought, it is more like Griswold Family Christmas than actually I thought. You know, as the chipmunk jumps out of the Christmas tree. And Isaac, we went yesterday, what is Bonnie eating? And Isaac goes, I think it's a ladybird. Apparently then Isaac said, this time last year, a ladybird popped out of the tree as well. So there you go. But we got to be focused and intentional to remember why as believers we're celebrating Christmas. And if you're like me, it's so, I mean, I do really love Christmas. I love the lights, I love the Christmas carols. It's just fantastic. I love getting gifts. Anybody else? No, it's better to give than to receive, but it is pretty nice to receive as well, isn't it? So we've got to be intentional to remember what this is all about, the virgin birth, God's arrival as a man, and the impossibility in our understanding as to the whole virgin birth and how that works. Of what God can do when we give him our yes. And you think that Mary went, have your way in me. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Do whatever you want. And because of that, she got to be mother to the Son of God, which is quite incredible. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So let's remember the light of the world in this whole process and enjoy your Christmas time. And I appreciate for some even mentioning this is maybe you're like, oh, it's November. It is the first Sunday in Advent, okay? Not going to tell you whether Slade's on. He might have been on in my car already. I may have been tempted to watch the Muppets Christmas Carol. I'm going to admit to all those things. That's personal choice. Don't get at me. No condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. But just let's remember what it's all really about. Okay, so we are personally, currently, corporately, nationally, and globally in transition, and it seems that the shaking continues to go on. England, who have not had masks for a very long time, I believe you're going to be popping your masks on as of Tuesday. So that's all happened again. There's another variant. Big surprise, surprise. There's boosters being issued. Are the schools going to close early? All the teachers are going, oh, no, they're probably not. Everybody's excited, and there's one voice like the Crown Town Crier coming in saying, no, the schools are not going to close. Don't get too excited. We're in transition, and we don't know when it's going to stop. And this series is designed to give you tools of understanding and the light of revelation so that you're more able and equipped to successfully travel through transition. Because for a lot of my life, transition has been difficult, slow, painful, hard, unexpected, and it just doesn't have to be as difficult as that. Transition is a process or period of changing from one state or condition to another. And one of the key verses that we've used many times is Joshua 3:15-16. When God asked the people of Israel, he said, now the Jordan is in full flood all during harvest, and yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing, and it piled up in a great heap a distance away at a town called Adam. that when we give God our yes, even though the circumstances look horrendous, that actually in our obedience, then it releases the grace of God, and the natural flow of things tend to stop in our obedience and God's response to our obedience. Talked about the battles that surround transition, that there are battles within and there are battles without. And in the natural world, we're affected by the exterior circumstances. If you're in a room and it's very cold, you'll be warm for a certain amount of time, and then eventually the circumstances and the atmosphere around you will affect you to the point that it'll change your temperature. Whereas in the Spirit, Jesus said that streams of living water erupt from us to outside of us. So as believers, we can and should expect that when we walk into places, we are the majority because we carry the Spirit of God. And therefore, we've opportunity to affect what is outside of us from within. So there are battles within and without. And then last week, Andrew talked to us about do it or dodge it. And I swear all last week, I had the glasses of do it or dodge it on all the time going, it's there too. Oh my goodness. In work, do it or dodge it. With my relationships, do it or dodge it. Just start paying. Oh no, I have loads of commissions to do. I couldn't possibly do that. Poor Claire, the Christmas tree is up. And she said, isn't it an awful shame that we still have the water damage stain on our ceiling throughout the Christmas period? And my response was, it is. And I actually thought I probably could roller it, but covering the tree and the spell, maybe it would make the tree look like it was snowing on it. I don't know, but we're not going to do it now. I've missed the boat and I've stepped in there. You're just a disappointment. And as Anna says, one day, Dad, one day. Do it or dodge it. The children of Israel dodged it. And then they just take me back to Egypt, take me back to slavery where I can have garlic and onions. So Andrew's call to us was, are we going to do it or we're going to dodge it? Because we can surely do this. We are small in number, but we are worshiping until he comes. We're doing what we're called to do. That's all we can do, and we're going to trust him for the rest. Sound like a plan? So do it or dodge it. This week, I want to talk to you about going through the ugly phase. No shock? Oh, come on. Let me try that again. Going through the ugly phase. Oh my goodness, Colin, what a title. Isn't that just remarkable? So since I've been back painting, there is a place when you're doing a painting of anything where it hits the ugly phase. Man alive, does it hit the ugly phase. And you can have people around you going, oh no, Colin, that's one. Oh, it's such, oh, it's beautiful. Oh, isn't that intriguing? You and I both know that it's an ugly phase. When you're doing decoration in a room, which I won't be doing over Christmas, there's an ugly phase that you go through. In relationships, there are ugly phases. As you go through life, there are ugly phases. I even have a friend who is a painter who says she relegates certain paintings to the naughty corner because she's so fed up with them and she can't get them out of the ugly phase. What I've discovered is that if you don't give up, you're normally only a few brush strokes away from coming to a place where it becomes beautiful again. So the ugly phase is a part of transition that all of us want to deny, but the reality is that we all have to go through it. Yes? When I go to get my hair cut, there is a point that if he stopped, the only response would be, Isaac gets a skin fade, and he always shaves it up to like a bowl cut, so it looks like he should be, hello, Daddy, you coming around for some night? If he stopped there, it would look completely ridiculous, and Claire would go, what have you done to my son? Whereas I let him keep going until it looks pretty darn good. There's an ugly phase in every area of transition. Building and construction, learning a new skill, decorating, I've already said, sport, I'm going to try to connect with sport. The only place I can try to connect in is in with a golf swing. Thank you very much, thank you. You can have you have your own golf swing and then you realize that you're maybe hooking it or slicing it, which are correct terms, iron can validate that. You may be doing either of those things, you need to correct your swing and it's pretty darn ugly until you get into what would be called muscle memory, I think you could say. Come on, people. Thank you. Sporting analogy, if you only knew how far I have come. There's an ugly phase. I wanted to overcome a fear of heights that I'd yielded to for a very long time, and I threw myself off the top diving board of Bangor swimming pool, and it was looked like this. And then as I readjusted my pants from being up over my head, and got up and thought, well, that wasn't that gracious. I clearly heard God say, no, it's not pretty, but you did overcome something. There's an ugly face. When we're trying to change anything, there's an ugly face. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I really like the comparisons that have become sayings for going through the ugly phase. Like, you can't make an omelette without breaking some eggs. Isn't that, people throw that one out there. Oh, sure, you can't make an omelette without breaking some eggs. I hate breaking eggs. Do you know, see when you do poached eggs, what the aim of a poached egg is to have the white bit surrounding the entirety of the yolk. When you break an egg, there's every possibility that the yolk is going to break and you drop it into the water and all these wee bits of yellow bits start popping up around you. Is that only me that gets annoyed by that? It is only me? Okay, that's all right. Well, apparently you can't make an omelette without breaking some eggs. And Maya Angelou said, we delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it's gone through to achieve that beauty. And somebody called Dudinsky said this, the butterfly said to the sun, they can't stop talking about my transformation. I can only do it once in my lifetime. If they only knew, they can do it at any time and in countless ways. So you and I have the opportunity to change all the time. But the question is, I'm going to nick his phrase, are we going to do it and just get on with it and get through the ugly phase? Or are we going to dodge it because we're afraid of what we'll look like when maybe what's inside of us is uncovered, or we have to go through a process that's uncomfortable for it? So if you and I choose to do it rather than dodge it and participate with God in the process of transition, the process and journey will take us through an ugly phase. And it's a powerful communicator, the ugly face, because it comes and says, you've missed it. Are you with me on this? You've decided to do something and make a change, and it gets so difficult that the ugly face is saying, you've missed it. It's now worse than it was before. You're not going to get there. You're better to give up, dodge it, back down, sit down and shut up, make a U-turn, and you've got it wrong. Do you remember my testimony when the bank said you can't afford the mortgage that you have? At this current time, Mr. Woodward, the ugly phase is communicating, sit down, Colin. Stay where you are, Colin. The world doesn't need another church, Colin. Did God really call you to plant this church, Colin? Sit down and shut up. We want to normalize the ugly phase, that it's a part of the process, and it's a part of the process. It's not the destination. And it's not what we expect. We all have this, it's like having children. I mean, it's wonderful having children, but there's so many ugly phases involved in that. Sleepless nights, the financial implications, the fact that it's never going to stop. It just is difficult, and yet it is worth every moment of it, and the moments of joy are inexplicable and unexpressible. When we experience what we did not expect, we try to reject it, don't we? And as a disciple of Jesus, we have to learn to accept what we did not expect nor desire and let go of what we wanted and embrace what we're given and let it have its full effect on us as we journey through transition. I want to say that again. As disciples of Jesus, we have to learn to accept what we did not expect nor desire and let what we are given have its full effect on us as we journey through transition. So in our lives, we have things that we want, don't we? And when we get them, it's lovely. But more often than not, the things that in the end, I know this is going to sound all over the place. In the end, the things that we really, really wanted, we tried to reject when we were given them. Because we were given them in a way that it didn't look like what we wanted, or we weren't the type of person who was ready to accept what we were given. It's quite remarkable that God does that. If we believe that our own understanding is key, then you and I are not going to accept what we're given. And what we are given will cause us to know God in a way that we never dreamed and cause us to become more Christ-like than we could ever try to desire or cause in our own energy or power. You think about the things that you love now. Did you try to reject them at the start? relationships, maybe a house, just speaking from experience. Jobs that you lost, jobs that you were given, friendships that came along, people that irritated you now that you realize you couldn't do without and have been such a blessing to you. Places that you came, opinions that you had, things that you had to let go of, clothes that you thought you would never want to wear. So many things that if we stay with it and accept what we're given, in the end we would never ever choose to reject it. I want to talk briefly about the ugliest phase of all. John 19:16-18. Then Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified, and the soldiers took him away, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, with Jesus in the middle. The disciples never expected that the Savior had to die, even though Jesus came and said, "Listen, I have come to die." I mean, he was straight up, "I have come to die." But they had their own ideas and expectations as to what the Messiah would actually do. And for the disciples and for you and I, when we see that he died and he was dead, they were talking about this in the CU in school, that how did you know that he was dead? And I was reading the account again, because normally they didn't die so quickly, and they decided not to break Jesus' legs to speed up the process of death, which would have caused those on the cross to suffocate and asphyxiate. They pierced him in the side, and with the blood and the water having separated within him, it was another indication that he was dead. So I want to remind you of the birth of a vision, the death of a vision, and supernatural resurrection. And where the ugly phase fits in is in the death of a vision. To be able to achieve anything in God, we have to let God achieve it within us. At the start, we want to achieve it all by ourselves, so it really does have to fall to the ground and die. When it dies, you and I go, I can't resurrect this. I can't make this happen. It's beyond me. I'm so deeply disappointed that it hasn't worked out the way I thought it would work out. And then it seems to be when we get to the end of ourselves that God knocks on the door and comes in and causes things to come to life in a way and in a way that is nearly indescribable compared to what we had thought it would even look like in the first place. Birth of a vision, death of a vision, and supernatural resurrection. The ugly phase is where we tend to accept what is being communicated, that it's over, it's worse now than it was before. And this is where you and I wish that we had never agreed to do it. So you could have come out of last Sunday going, "I need to do this. I just need to do it. I'm done with dodging it." And yes and amen, that's absolutely right. But at some point, the enemy and circumstances, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to come to you and go, "I bet you regret ever saying that you would do it." Have you been there? Don't we? We hit that point, and we've got to be honest about it. The ugly phase, "I wish I had never, ever even started this stupid journey, because it hurts too much, it costs too much, and it takes far longer than I ever would have agreed to have said yes to." This is where we want to go back to the place of our savory. And this is where, though we may mock the Israelites for wanting to go back for garlic and onions, we want to go back to our own garlic and onions, because it's familiar and it's safe, seemingly, and it's not the painful place where we were before. We're tempted to focus on and listen to what the circumstances and our enemy who, please listen to this, our enemy who cloaks himself in the seemingly undeniable realities of our circumstances. The enemy is never as strong as when he goes, "Just look. Look at the reality of these circumstances. Can you not see with your own eyes and hear with your ears and feel what you're feeling? This is not going to get any better." And as Andrew said many times, the soul is always right. It's a bit of a showstopper, isn't it? And then God comes in and goes, "No, no, there's other things at play here. I'm the one who, things that are not as I call as though they are. I speak life and it comes." The enemy is never as strong as when he cloaks himself in our circumstances and says, these are undeniable realities. And yet you and I are not of this world. We are flying on a higher plane, and that plane is where God's rule and reign is what says goes. Which is why when the Israelites put their foot to the edge of the Jordan in full flood, the Jordan yielded itself to the principle and the word of God, and it stopped and it mounted itself up in a great heap at a town called Adam. The ugly phase is the darkest point before the dawn. There's no light at all. The only light that you have is within you of a vague memory of a God who promised you that at some point it would all change. And the old phrase, don't forget in the darkness, what? What God's told you in the light. And the clearer that God speaks to you in what actually, and at times I find that things can be going quite well and God will speak very, very clearly about something that's coming. So there's a clarity cost principle that John Paul Jackson used to talk about. The clearer that you hear God speak to you about something, oh boy, hold on tight. If it's vague and you catch a wisp of it, well, it's probably not going to be that rough. But if God comes and says, Colin, you and I need to chat, and it's clear as a bell, okay, son, so it's going to be like this for a while. And like the time he said to me, son, I'm going to take you through a specific time of discipline for 68 weeks, I swore. Because I thought, oh no, I didn't just hear that. No. It was clear because it hurt. As a teenager, I really loved to paint, and I never really got past the ugly phase of a paint, and it was too much. It was too embarrassing. It was disappointing. Every time I painted, it was like running the gauntlet. Was I going to be able to do it? Because so much of my self-worth was attached to whether somebody said that was beautiful, and oh, look, aren't you so talented, and all those things. As a man, I've learned not to give up, and I've learned that the panic of the ugly phase is to be ignored, and I've got to keep painting, walking, moving forward, and keep going because you're only a couple of brush strokes away from something being beautiful. Can you hear him? You're only a few steps, brush strokes, folds, press of the iron, knocks on the wall, pen strokes, clicks on the typewriter, conversations in relationship, moments away from everything becoming beautiful. Because it's always darkest before the dawn. It never ceases to amaze me how often it is simply a couple of brush strokes before the ugly duckling gives way to the swan. Thank you, Hans Christian Andersen. Can I get the worship guys up? Romans 1:1-4. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son who was a descendant of David according to the flesh, and who the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The key verse for all of this, all of us, in this ugly phase of transition is Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything beautiful in its time. Everything in the Hebrew means whole, the whole thing. Beautiful is beautiful or fair and appropriate, and time is the appointed time. So look around at the ugly things in your life, and I feel like we could be in a church in America, because we should all really be going, you may be ugly now, but one day you will be beautiful. Please don't ever say that to another human. That would just not go down well. Like the 4-year-old in Atlanta, he said to me, you is ugly, 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 oh, ugly. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And the only way that you will continue through the necessary process during the ugly phase is if you keep the vision God has given you in front of you all the way along. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. And then listen to this. And Jesus stood up and said this. Or did he sit down? I can't remember. Didn't they sit down? I think he stood up on this. Anyway, Jesus said this. Isaiah 61:2-4. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to console the mourners in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for a spirit of despair. Take these glasses and look at your life. To give them a crown of beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for a spirit of despair. So they'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Can I ask you to stand with me and we're going to respond? So as always, some questions to help you to consider the message and also your response. So are you going through an ugly phase in the process of transition at the minute? And then secondly, have you given up before during the ugly phase and you know that you need to not repeat the pattern? And then thirdly, do you want to keep going and trust that God will make everything beautiful in its time? If you can answer yes to any of those questions, or you'd simply just like to respond, then please come and join me now. And we're going to worship for a time, and then we'll make our response.
You have been listening to Destination Church Belfast Weekly Podcast. Remember to check us out at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk and have a great week.